on page 157 of Sketches from the Life of Paul. Bottom of the page, last paragraph, says, God will not accept the most brilliant talent or the most able service unless it is laid upon the living foundation stone and connected with it. For this alone gives true value to ability and makes the labor a living service to God. Amen and that. Somebody texted me something here. Oh, okay. Well, live and learn. So, okay. Getting back. It says, we may look back through centuries and see the living stones gleaming like jets of light through the darkness of error and superstition. That is a neat way to say that, man. You know, like you can look back in history and see Moses, Adam. Well, he kind of messed up, so not a lot of information about Adam. Yeah, they ever noticed that, too? After he leaves the garden, that's about it. You don't hear nothing about him anymore, just his son that killed his other son. That's it. And Eve, nary a peep. Anyway, it says, these precious jewels. Oh, I already read that. But yeah, I like looking back and seeing that. You know, you try to picture Moses and what he went through. And, or even the modern times kind of guys like John Wesley and Tyndale and Huss and all them guys and Luther and James and Ellen White. I mean, Daniel, Isaiah, you know, the patriarchs and prophets of the word. You see, like the word says, their work follows them. You know, which is kind of depressing when you think about it. For those of us that may not make it into the Gideon band, but we will make it home. And let's say we're doing a mighty work for the Lord, and before the plagues start, we die. And there's like 1 or 2 years left in the history of Earth. And so there's not a lot of our history being followed, but it's not about us. It's about Christ, and that doesn't matter. I'm just saying. But to have been, you know, associated with guys like Tyndale and Luther and all them, wow. She says, although dead, the righteous of all ages testify by the record of their words and deeds to the truth of God. The names of the martyrs for Christ's sake are immortalized among the angels in heaven, and a bright reward awaits them when the life giver shall call them from their graves. Man, you know, you think about that, and I, you know, because we've all lost loved ones, I'm sure, and it's hard, and this is the reason we weep. And I've always said it, it's easy for the one dying, it's difficult for the one staying alive, because even though that doesn't bring much consolation to the one dying, but it can be a scary thing for some, I guess, but it's a part of life, death, you know. And the fact of the matter is, when it's said and done, and the soul, you know, the body gives up, even before the body gives up, the soul relaxes, because I'm sure, especially with the child of God, I've seen many of people smile as they're going, as they're leaving. As one of my first funeral, in fact, or was that my second? I don't know. He was smiling in the casket. Strangest thing, but Bruce always was that kind of a guy. He was always in a good mood, and boy, he packed that funeral home. I've never ever been in a funeral that big, and I can still say I miss that guy. But I know. See, the thing is, even though he died, he doesn't even know he's dead, and he gets, like, I was watching this video the other day of a kid that needed a surgery, and it was a life and death thing, brain tumor thing, and the odds were against him, and he was afraid to go to sleep, and he started crying. He says, what if I don't wake up? Well, you're not going to know if you don't wake up. See, that reminds me of what my dad said after he had the open heart surgery. The second time he had to go back in or something like that, and he wakes up and he goes, still here. That's what he said, you know. And so he wasn't afraid of death, because I know he gave his life to Christ before he died. And, you know, like a thief on a cross thing, he didn't have a lot of information, but praise God, he had enough to know who Jesus was, even as a Catholic, you know. And so I praise the Lord that he didn't have any fear in that area. But then again, he was 79, so it's not like he didn't live a good life, a long life. But that's, even today's world, that's not considered that long when you think about it. I mean, look at Vern Bates. I think he was 86, 80-something. I know that. My mother-in-law, boy, there's the patience of God. She was 82. And sad, too, because my wife and I both know we're not going to see her again. I love her. She loved me. She was very, very kind to me and all that other stuff. But, boy, she had a real problem with the Lord. She wanted to punch him in the face. Seriously, that's what she said. And so she didn't understand. But anyway, I want to, you know, get off of that. But that bright reward, man, you're laying in your bed, you're dying, you wake up, and you're ascending. It's like, and so many people fear death because of the unknown. Christians don't, though. Christians don't fear death because we know where we're headed. You know, me, Fran, and Luke the other night when we're going through the book again, you know, that the RLAC book, and we're talking about how it's so, we so praise God. Just looking at the masks and trying to force people to get the masks and the vaccine thing and all that, we know exactly what we're looking at. They're testing everything they can because they know the mark is going to be, Satan knows the mark is going to be enforced soon. He has absolute and utter control over, I would think, at least 80% of our political leaders. 100% if you think about it, but the 20%, I think the Lord still moves them around to prevent certain things. But when those plagues hit, you're going to see how bad they really want to attack Christians. Because right now, they're held back. They hate Christians with a passion. This is why everything's being set up. That's why the Pope's doing what he's doing. He wants to kill every Christian he could find. He's a card-carrying Satanist. He believes that lying to the world about Satan, who's going to stand next to him and claim to be Jesus, is a duty that will allow him to reign with Satan in hellfire for all eternity and rule. That's how ridiculously foolish these people are. But they can't go anywhere without the Father's permission. And this is what a lot of us have to get our minds wrapped around, if you think about it. I mean, some of you, you know, like the other day, some people are getting scared thinking about how they're going to, you know, shut our bank accounts and stuff. Yeah, that comes after the loud cry. They're trying to shut us up. Or they're going to attack us here, attack us there. Well, no, if you need to be doing the work, you're going to be okay. He's going to make sure you're going to get out there and do the work. But the wicked, they're scared out of their wits because death is an unknown to them. They don't know where anything's going. And when you study the prophecies, that's what we were talking about the other night, was where we know the vaccine. That's why I did that. Oh, and that's another thing I praise God for, because of the way the Lord has restructured my week, where I have a lot of free time to do these projects for him, like that track I just wrote called, you know, like the Vax. It was the Mask to Vax to Mark. It was a video. People on BitChute are asking me, or emailed me, please make it into a track. I says, confirmation, it's already happened. I already did it. And but the nice thing is that we know why the vaccine is out there, because of the religious laws. They got to get the people to do something they know is biblically wrong. Because even the Sunday keepers are going to know when that loud cry, because Satan knows, he knows the message we're going to preach. He knows absolutely every single solitary person on the planet is going to know we are speaking absolute, unadulterated truth about the seal of God and the mark of the beast. They're all going to know it. And so he has to test them in an area where they all know there's aborted babies, and they all know there's pork in the vaccine. That's why they put it out there. Satan is watching. He's doing his demographic research, or whatever you want to call it. He's testing the waters, and so it's gonna get intense. But we're not gonna have the least bit of fear. So she goes on to say that the flashing light of these polished stones, set for beauty in Christ's temple, has ever been exceedingly annoying to the world, for their brightness in the midst of surrounding darkness shows the strong contrast between righteousness and sin, the gold of truth and the dross of error in tradition. Man, there's so many people out there. It's just like that that one prophecy. I don't know the exact wording of it, but it more or less is how the people turn their creed into their god. You know, like the people that say Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, or the people say, you know, other strange doctrines and stuff that aren't found in Scripture. That's they place their creed above the Word of God because, well, first of all, I think the only reason that goes down, like with the Yahweh people, because I saw that first with the Yahweh people in the Fire Talk days, coming in, blurting all this stuff about saying you got to use the name Yahweh or Yeshua. And yeah, we were just discussing this last week in study hour, and how that is not how it is written. They couldn't back it up with Scripture, and so they, of course, failed. But my point in all this is Satan knows that they have a zeal, and so he misdirects their zeal to keep them thinking that they're doing a good thing. Are we losing people here? I just noticed some people falling out, or I didn't even put that track on the screen yet there, Dwayne. How are you using it? Are people falling in and out? I'm gonna turn off that leaving message thing on my side because it's too distracting. Settings. Enter and leave. Good. Turn it, and I just turned it off. So, but I don't know. No one's answering me, so maybe there's a lag or something in my the 18 second thing. Yeah, I would think it's a little longer now with this new text chat. But okay. But getting back, she goes on to say that those who refuse to obey the truth themselves are unwilling that others should obey it. For the course of the faithful is a continual reproof to the unbelieving and disobedient. See, that's hard to understand. I couldn't even understand it before I was a Christian. But I never got upset, you know, because people used to get all upset. I says, what are you getting upset about? It's just, so what? They don't believe the way you do. Whoop-de-doo, you know, walk on down the road. You ain't got to go cruise out by them. And then when the homosexuals came forward and it said, oh, would you guys please stop hating us because we're homosexuals? All we want is a group hug. We'll be kind to it. Yeah, the minute they started getting some rights, boom, they attacked the Christians like we expected because they are possessed by demons. They're going to go after the Christians. And yes, they are possessed. There's no getting around that. So, God did not create them that way. It's not what the Bible says. And it's just not reality. I couldn't believe it. Somebody sent out a thing publicly. I put it on the website. It was an article about how they're trying to pass a law through the AMA to prevent the AMA from declaring boy or girl when a child is removed from the womb at birth. You know, and people are all chiming in, like the liberals. They're all chiming in and says, yeah, how can you possibly know if it's a boy or a girl until that child gets to be 5, 6, or 7 years old? What, he's never changed a diaper before? I mean, it's just ridiculous how they're acting. But then when I look at it, I don't let it upset me. Why? It's supposed to happen. They're supposed to be this insane and blind and spiritually crazy. We have to just deal with it. And this is, boy, I tell you, I just love seeing everything that's happening because of the fact that the, just when I look at the vaccine thing, I'm so praising God. I know we are going to be out of here soon, but it's going to be intense because right now they're trying to get it to a point where they can stop buying and selling without getting the vaccine. And you know they're not going to go 100% on that. You're going to find some stores you can buy and sell, right? But they're going to go for it anyway because they have to get the tools in there. They have to get it all set up so that when they do really do it, when Satan really stands on the planet and acts like he's Jesus and declares that he changed the Sabbath to Sunday and all those nutcases out there, or Gideon Band as we call them, or just some people in the loud cry might not even make it into the Gideon Band. They may have the faith to make it home to heaven, but not the strength to get through the plagues, you know? And so let's say we're all going forward and we're doing what we're doing and proclaiming it, because, you know, somebody's going to die. The prophecy's clear. The guillotines weren't built for, you know, just to put them in people's living rooms and gawk at them. And boy, they're ugly. I've seen some of the modern-day guillotines. They're not like they were in the old days with all this fancy woodwork, but it's not like I would want to build one. It's ridiculous. So anyway, she goes on to say that Christ himself, the foundation and the crowning glory of God's temple, became a rock of offense to them that stumble at the word. Yet, that chief foundation stone, disallowed indeed of men, was chosen of God and precious. Though rejected by the Jewish builders, it became the head of the corner. Christ was put to death, but the work of building did not cease. He was honored in heaven and by the faithful on earth as the true foundation. He was honored in heaven and by the faithful on earth as the true foundation. And this is why Sam Ballett is out there just wringing his hands together and getting all sorts of wicked smiles on his face, or grins, if you will. Because they're coming out of the woodwork. Remember, I was talking about it last week or the week before. I don't know. There's so many areas in the Bible that talks about this. So I can't remember. It's either Psalms, 1st or 2nd Timothy, or Zechariah, because those are the books I'm in the morning. And where I literally had in there 36 names of people that have attacked, not counting my siblings, that's adding 10, or my parents, that's adding 2, when I left the Catholic Church, just since I became a Sabbath keeper. Only 36 people, and out of those 36, 35 of them were brothers or sisters in the faith. Remember what it says? I believe it's in Psalms a couple of times. David dealt with this. He says, I'm not, speaking of the wicked, Father. I am not speaking of those that hate your people. I'm speaking of those I broke bread with. I'm paraphrasing the daylights out of it. But you know what I mean? He went through what we're going through. And some of you young people there, even the ones that are in your 20s now, because you went through it when you were young, your very own parents. Because like a brother in the faith in the UK contacted me in regards to something that is, and it was heart-wrenching for him. He says, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm one of 11, but now I don't have any siblings, I mean, I got a few that I do have an opportunity to talk to once in a while, but that took 20 years, 25 years. Because right when I left the Catholic Church, actually not right when I left, it was about 3 or 4 years later when I sent everybody my study on Christmas. That's when it got bad. It got really bad then. So, but I forgive them because I knew. I knew because they couldn't see. It's no big deal. If they saw what I see, they'd understand it. So I can't hold it against them. Not fighting against flesh and blood. So she goes on to say that the servants of Christ have ever been greatly hindered in their labors by the errors which have from time to time corrupted the church. Carnal minds wrest the word of God to make it pander to their follies and superstitions. Yeah, those creeds, boy, oh boy, some of the creeds that they got out there on some of these websites, their statement of faith, I'll call it too, is like, and they all have the Trinity section. The SDAs have it. Ever since 1980, the SDAs have that one section about the Trinity. And that's nowhere in the scripture, what they're preaching about, three gods in one. The Bible says three separate gods, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, or Melchizedek, if you want to call him by name. So going on, she says, that unerring word, the rule by which every stone brought to the foundation must be tested, has been virtually set aside by many who appeared to be zealous builders on the temple of Christ's church. Let me reread that, because if we're going to be part of the Gideon band, we're going to have to be tested. Well, we already are, obviously, but we're going to have to get, it's going to have to get heavy. She says that unerring word, the scripture, the rule by which every stone brought to the foundation must be tested, has been virtually set aside by many who appeared to be zealous builders of the temple on the temple of Christ's church. You remember I was talking about the zeal earlier? A lot of people, they look very, very zealous, but the minute someone comes across them, like I had this brother in the faith many years ago, in the Fire Talk days. As a matter of fact, he's the one that bought me as a gift, Remnant of God, the URLs for the website. He him and I were on the same page. Everything was great. He had amazing miracles happening. Oh, man, it was just the things that were happening. But the one thing he could not let go of was that heavenly language. He was locked into that. He had a zeal that was as big as all outdoors, but he insisted that he had the gift of tongues. And I says, yeah, we're supposed to have the gift of tongues, the way the Bible defines it. What happened on Pentecost? Did they get out there and speak a bunch of gibberish nobody understood? I didn't say it that way, of course, but no, they speak in languages, and that's why the Lord made it a point to have all those different people in the city at that time. But he didn't, he says, well, he had his excuse was, it's a heavenly language. Nobody understands this but me and the Lord and the angels. And I says, yeah, well, a lot of these guys come up with these things. Like this one guy got on TV. He was a multi-millionaire Sunday creeping Pentecostal Catholic, because they're all Catholic now, by the way. That happened, I don't know, 5 years ago. But he gets up there going, pokey-poo. Or no, pokey-poo. Pokey-poo, pokey-poo, pokey-poo. And that was his God-given statement. And so every time he speaks in tongues, that's all he says, pokey-poo. Or like that one friend of my brother, one of my little brothers. He always said, he would always repeat over and over again, have you seen the keys of my Honda? Have you seen the keys of my Honda? Have you seen the keys of my Honda? And the reason I remember that so well is because my brother Bert used to kid him about it, saying, look, you drive a Ford, you don't drive a Honda. Because it sounds like he's saying, have you seen the keys to my Honda? But he goes, have you seen the keys of my Honda? Have you seen the keys of my Honda? And that's how he'd say it like that. But every time he'd say it, he'd come up with a new definition as to what was being said. I says, how is that even possible? You know, you can't, but that's how it is. This is how far gone. I mean, like I've been saying since my Sunday keeping days, we're in the age of lying. And that's where people hang their hats. And so if they're zealous, the enemy of souls is going to come, because he's been tempting us since our cradles, right? And so he knows where we get going. He knows where we can, where our skeletons are, because he put them there, right? And so when he sees us find Christ and we get all zealous, and praise God, it doesn't work for the overwhelming majority of the Seventh-day Remnant people. But some people out there still can't let go of something, even if it's just a toenail on the pinky toe. They can't let go. And the devil knows it. And he's going to bide his time, especially when that loud cry starts going forward. Think about it. If you got something you can't let go of, like now, everything from cigarettes to, I don't know, it could be anything that you know is sinful and you just can't let go of it, and it's a piddly little thing, when it comes time for the latter rain to fall, number one, you're not going to get wet. Because the Lord knows Satan's got a hold on you. You haven't overcome in that one little area. And number two, once the devil knows the latter rain has passed you by, like many Holy Spirit indwelt Christians, you know, that lose their salvation at the start of plague one, Sister White even says that too. They're going to look at, or just go in the scriptures and see what Jesus says about the 10 virgins. The 5 foolish virgins didn't get in, did they? Yet they had some oil. See, that's the thing. A lot of people think, like the Baptists, forget about it. You cannot lose your salvation. Why do you think Satan came up with that dogma? It ain't doctrine. It's Catholic dogma. You know, venial mortal dogma. It's just like saying, you got to be a Catholic to get to heaven, or you got to be SDA to get to heaven. They both say the same thing now. And I got it in writing on the SDA apostasy site and in a couple of videos. But yeah, it's out. That's the way it is. That's today's world. So she goes on to say that thus would, okay, let me backtrack a little bit, who appear to be zealous builders of the temple of Christ's church. You know, because in other words, they're a threat. And Satan knows he's still got a handle somewhere. And so he's going to hold on to that handle until he knows he can use you or pull you off the path to prevent you from being even bigger, more of a threat. And that's what he's doing now with the people that say Jesus isn't God, Holy Spirit doesn't exist. Loud cry comes after the Sunday laws. The SDA church teaches that now. Forerunner, that's what he teaches. The loud cry, he says that the mark comes and then the loud cry. Says, well, then no, it's just not in the Bible. He can't. No, it's not there. And so, pray for these people, because they they have a good zeal, but it's misdirected, and it's because there's something they can't let go of. I know what it is with Forerunner. I know for a fact where his foothold is. You can't miss it. Okay? Because I used to have that same foothold where you can't walk past a mirror without falling in love. It's just like this other young man that came around. It's all about, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know? So getting back. Thus wood, hay, and stubble have been laid upon the foundation stone by heedless workmen as precious acquisitions. That's something. In other words, they build their tradition up. I mean, look at some of these guys. Well, look at the guy in Texas. His wife called me. He was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. He stepped out. Why she called me? I guess he was hitting the site. Never met the guy. Can't remember his name for the life of me. He was the head pastor running that Creation Seventh-day Adventist church. Remember it? They call themselves Creation SDAs, right? And he was right on the same page with us. Only one little issue, though. The SDA name became his idol. And I told him through email, and then when his wife called me in tears saying they dragged him out of here, took all our books, ripped all the signs down, and he's in jail for copyright, for trademark infringement. And I says, "Sister, I'm sorry. I'll pray that the Lord gives you peace on this, but you're not saved by it." Even Sister White says the name is going to be tarnished. You got to stop using it right now. If we use the name SDA, we have to associate ourselves with Trinity Sunday Keepers, because they get dozens of Sunday Keepers. They had dozens of them back then. Well, no, they probably only had a dozen back then. I don't know how many years ago it was, but yeah, this is today's. He held on to that. Praise God, he's probably out of jail now, and hopefully, praise God, he's put that down. But they use Catholic and Jewish lawyers to get him behind bars. They tried the same thing with the guy in Florida. I forget his name. I think his first name was Emmanuel. But these traditions, these creeds, because that's really all it is like the Sunday keeping thing. That's part of a tradition. Easter, that's a part of a tradition. Who said Happy Easter to me today? Who was it I was talking to? Oh, yeah, never mind. Yeah, that's a personal guy. has to do with these windmills. But I couldn't believe it. He jumped off the phone way too quick. That's right. Easter, isn't Easter, is that this Sunday? When is Easter? Does anybody know? Well, I would think it's the first full moon. Of spring, the following Sunday is always going to be Easter. Did they already get the ashes on their foreheads or something? I don't even remember. Amen, Arthur. Once saved, always saved. So, anyway, getting back, she says, thus wood, hay, and stubble have been laid upon the foundation stone by heedless workmen as precious acquisitions. And so, and Catholicism is just like that too, but they put an actual statue made out of stone or marble or wood. And it becomes a precious acquisition because it cost them thousands of dollars to get these things made. And so she goes on by saying, when emperors, kings, popes, and priests sought to defile and destroy the temple of God with sacrilegious idolatry and persecution of the faithful, God's eye never for a moment left his building and his workmen. See, this is what they're all forgetting. It's like that guy standing on the end of my boat that day with that pole. Oh, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me dead. And I says, dude, we're sitting in a metal boat. Either I'm knocking you into water, or you better sit down. Something like that. I can't remember what it was. Because Mr. Showoff, I says, you don't take chances. I'm a teenager at the time, right? Wasn't walking like I should, but I know who God is. And these people, they just they think that since God doesn't strike them dead, the moment they commit a sin or drop grief on them like an anvil, They figure, well, there's must not be a God in heaven. Either that, it wasn't that big a deal. But he ain't forgetting what you're doing. He's seeing everything you're doing. And the death knell's coming. It's like I think it's in Timothy. When they make merchandise of you, the Lord says, they may think, it's like a paraphrasing, it's the effect of, They may think they have gotten away from it, but no, their judgment is coming. It's coming sooner than they realize. It's all written down. They're not going to escape it unless they repent. See, that's the mercy. That's that mystery of Christ, too. They can't understand the mystery of his mercy, even. Why? Because, well, if they can't understand meeting Jesus Christ and having him, oh, man, I just love it. And thank you, Lord, for the way he opens up the Word every morning. I mean, it's just been off the chart for, I don't even remember how long, because of the way, I mean, we're getting so close. And we're all praying extra strong to, we want a lot more information, Father, because there's not a lot of time to get busy. And so she goes on to say, but it's sad, pray for these people that are attacking us and not realizing, or even the guys that aren't attacking us, but they're draining their widows dry just because they got a couple of bucks. You know, like the precious daughter of Jesus. I mean, she came to a couple of our camp meetings. She was such a blessing to behold. Found out later she had money, you know. Never knew it. And her pastor, her SDA pastor, approached her and talked her out of leaving, talked her into leaving the SDR movement because he wanted that money. At least that's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. And it's sad. She'll be back. Because I think she's got a genuine spirit. She's just easily confused by these silver-tongued demons that people call pastors. And so she goes on to say, in the face of gaping prisons, torture, and flames, the work grew under the hands of faithful men. And that's something. You think he's beating it down? And he's like Fran and I were talking about this earlier, too. About the you know, the mask and the vaccine stuff, you know, like they're, especially in New York, they're locking down some businesses where you can't buy and sell unless you actually have, because it's just loaded with Democrats in that state, right? And so if you don't have the vaccine, you can't do this, you can't do that in some areas, right? And, you know, okay, fine, that's annoying. It lets us know where we're headed, but here's the sticky wicket for Satan. This is where he's up against the wall. It's his catch-22, if you will. What I mean is, he's testing the waters. He's doing the demographic research. He's figuring out the best way to lock down these Christians by using these methods with religious icons built, or well, religious features, if you will, for lack of a better word, because he knows what his mark is. It's a religious law. I mean, that's why every time the mark or the image is mentioned, it's the word worship is right there with it. And so he's locking it all down, but at the same time, he's making it easier for us to figure out how to get around it. Because now we're seeing, okay, he's got a loophole here. Look at that. We can jump in over there or over here. And like I've been saying before, when they do lock it down with the mark where we can't buy and sell, we can't even travel, it's not going to stop a loud cry. We're still going to be able to go. We got to go. We're going to be able to get around it. Some people are freaking out going, what? How is that going to happen? Do some research in the scriptures, especially in regards to what happened after Philip baptized the eunuch, or what happened after Jesus Christ stepped into the boat when he walked on the water, or what happened when they wanted to stone Jesus, or what happened when they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Yeah. He doesn't do anything by accident, my brothers and sisters. He does it as an example, a lesson unto us. We are going to be doing those things too. If the Lord wants us to preach somewhere where the only way to get there is by airplane, we're going to get there by thought, or angelic thought, if you will. You know, like Philip was carried away, and he's where he needed to be next. You know, if they want to call it transportation like Star Trek or something, well, yeah, let them call it what they want. If the Lord wants us to be somewhere, we're going to be there. But he's also going to set it up, I would think, that that's where we're going to stay. Or he'd be able to have us come back. Because I've thought of this many times, like a brother or sister in a faith is in desperate need of help. I mean, look what Peter did. He didn't project or transport or anything like that, but there were some people that needed to be healed. He sent, you know, handkerchiefs, if you want to call it that today, you know, that he touched, prayed on, I guess, or whatever. And they were healed. I was going to send one to a buddy of mine that was dying. I couldn't get to Vegas because that's where he lived. Never been to Vegas, never going to go to Vegas. But, you know, like the Sin City section. I mean, he lived in the suburbs. He was never a gambler, never went into Las Vegas, I guess you call it. I don't know if it's the same. I guess they have a suburbs, and he was in their suburbs. But he was dying, and I didn't know he was going to die within hours. The way he was acting and the way everybody else was acting, he had a, you know, a couple of days or so, and I could have possibly made it, but not that quickly. And so I called his wife that morning. I says, look, I've prayed over this piece of cloth and I've anointed it. I've done everything I know to do. I'm going to make. And she stops me. She goes, David died last night. And so never had a sentence. So I'd never know what would have happened. So, but if he needs us where we got to be, or if we have to pray for somebody, and we don't even have to send the handkerchiefs. If you think about it, why that was, that'd be a nice study. Wouldn't it be a nice study to figure out why the handkerchiefs? Why not just pray from a distance? Because he's done that too. Jesus did that. Remember the soldier? You know, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Only say the word and thou shalt be healed. You know, my daughter shall be healed, or his servant. Yeah. By the time he got halfway home, his people came out and said, your son or servant, whoever it was, because there was two of them. It was a daughter and a servant, as I recall correctly. Or maybe I'm thinking of Dorcas, because that was with Peter. Or Tabitha. Tabitha was with... I think the little girl was named Tabitha. But the fact of the matter is, he was... You know, the loved one was healed when the soldier was nowhere near the area. And so we could do the same thing. But I'd like to... Maybe I should do a study in regards to the cloth. I understand the reason Jesus folded the cloth in the tomb when he resurrected. As a matter of fact, I made a video about that. But the one with Peter, I never did a study on it. I never had the question presented. I'm questioning myself. So, hey, maybe that's my next topical study. You know, if I ever get to do one for myself. I mean, you know, the ones that come in are such a blessing. I can't come up with these topics half the time. And so, praise the Lord. So anyway, continuing, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. It says, in the face of gaping prisons, torture, and flames, the work grew under the hands of faithful men. The structure arose beautiful and symmetrical. The workmen were at times almost blinded by the mists of superstition that settled dense and dark around them, and they were beaten back by the violence of their opponents. Yet, like Nehemiah and his co-laborers, you know, because that's, and us today, because Nehemiah, he was rebuilding that wall, and we're repairers of the breach. It's right there, and what is it, Isaiah 58? And so Nehemiah and his co-laborers, they still urged forward to forward the work. As a matter of fact, when some of these people that have left our number over the years and they come and they try to start up a big old ruckus, most of them I just don't bother emailing back, but if it's a recent one where they constantly text or do whatever, I just declare, you know, get thee hence, Satan, you have no power here. Or when they insist I do something, that's what it was, when they insist I do something publicly, I just echo what Nehemiah told Sanballat. Who are you that I should come down to you? I've got a work here to do for the Lord. And so going on, she says, their language was, the God of heaven liveth and reigneth. He will prosper his own work. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. Okay, good place to stop, because that's where we'll pick it up next week. Page 159, last paragraph. So let me get my little thing here open for Friday night. But anyway, for those of you listening on the radio, in the future, I'm going to stop the recording here. So I hope and pray you were blessed.